The market, well, it's been showing signs of volatility, and during times that are volatile and risky, you want to be able to figure out what is working and what is not. We're going to take a look at some stocks that are headed for trouble now in the Danger Zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone. This is where we talk with the experts from New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And they do that by digging in at the footnotes level and then working their way back up, asking one basic question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
It is entirely possible that something that looks good from the top down looks way different when you dig in from the bottom and work your way back up. And if something is misleading and working against you, that makes it de facto dangerous. If, by the way, it's going the other way, like something looks like it's headed for trouble, but in truth, it's a lot better than that, that would make something attractive. If you want to learn about how it works, go to newconstructs.com, where they blog about all their Danger Zone picks, so there's always more information on the things you hear us discuss here. David Trainer is the president and founder at New Constructs. David, great to chat with you again.
Good to be with you, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the Danger Zone this week?
Stocks that got riskier after earnings.
Danger, danger.
Stocks that got riskier after earnings. This is an interesting one because this is actually kind of tied into your research process. I mean, I think most people go, okay, there was an earnings report. Did my company do what I kind of expected to it? Was it within the realm of possibility? Okay, it was. Cool. And then they don't pay attention to anything else they hear until the next earnings report. But for you, part of this process is if the earnings aren't helping you, they might be hurting you, right?
That's right. I mean, it really, the earnings are supporting our thesis. And we've had a policy just to sort of have the report stick out there and, until something came along that said we needed to change it. We figure since we have so many open positions now, take it to an opportunity to touch on some of these and let our clients know, hey, the recent earnings release, despite the fact that these things are designed to boost investor confidence and suck in more unsuspecting investors, our thesis remains strong and true, and there's nothing that leads us to believe that what we've suggested will happen won't happen.
What you really have here is a case of a couple stocks that have been in the danger zone before, where functionally they came out with earnings reports that, again, suggested, look at us from the top down, everything looks good, everything is fine, and in your case, you're looking at them going, oh, things got worse. You just kind of missed it. So who are the three companies that we're talking about today?
Uber, DoorDash, and Carvana.
Uber, DoorDash, and Carvana.
Danger, danger.
So we'll sound the danger sign again. These are, like I said, all stocks that you've talked about before. But why are they more dangerous now? What has gotten worse and why perhaps it's even a worse time to be long in these stocks?
I mean, it's just another data point proving that our thesis is true, that these guys are nowhere close to achieving the scale and attendant profitability needed to justify their stock price. I mean, you know, every quarter we get another update and it's like, oh, is there any real progress toward achieving the, you know, absolutely unrealistic expectations for future cash flows baked into the stock price? And the answer is no. We're sort of, you know, dumbfounded by the fact that people keep buying the story when it's so clearly not coming true. And it's always kind of important to say, we're never saying, or we're usually not saying, sometimes we are saying, WeWork was a bad company. Most of the time when we're talking about these stocks, we're not really saying that the companies are bad. We're just saying that the valuations are absurdly high. And that's what we get with Uber and DoorDash and Carvana. I mean, it's just an absolute joke where these stocks are trading, and the businesses are poor and highly unlikely to ever get any better.
How out of whack are these things? Because the thing we say all the time, for these stocks to do what you expect they're going to do, there needs to be a catalyst. And the catalyst is the hard part to fix. And you always say, or almost always say, well, hey, there, at some point there's going to come an earnings miss. Well, guess what these three stocks didn't see? None of them really saw some big headline-making earnings miss. So they're worse, but they didn't have the thing that you would see as a catalyst. So when does anybody wake up and smell the coffee percolating on these?
Yeah,
and how bad does it get?
Yeah, I mean, look, and I think it's probably not an earnings miss because, look, the relationship between these companies and the analysts is tight. So they choose their earnings numbers carefully. Typically something a little bit below of what they come in so they can show an earnings beat. No matter how high or low, I should say, the bar for that earnings number is. All people care about, because they're only looking at headlines, is whether they meet or beat. So yeah, we got to do some work on some more exogenous catalysts, because we're really talking about some stocks that are trading at joke level valuations. For example, Uber, right? It's priced as if it's going to own 170% of its total addressable market, the total ride sharing market. So that's impossible. And look, the gross bookings are not rising, they're falling. So the idea that in a world where their bookings and revenue are falling over the last year, it's even harder to believe that it's going to generate bookings that are by 2030, 170% of the expected size of that total market. So you always want to know, like, so what's the real price? Well, the economic book value of the stock is negative $37.
Wow.
If it just meets consensus, you know, estimates for growth, then we're talking about $20 a share, 65% downside.
Wow.
DoorDash is a similar story. Its valuation implies it's going to own 92% of the total addressable market. Its market share is not growing. And the key thing is that we saw this story before with Grubhub. When it was the main player in the market, it held 55% of the total addressable market. And as competition entered, its market share has now fallen to 17%, right? So the idea that any one firm is ever going to get to 92% and at the same time make any money, you know, it's absurd, period.
And Carvana, how out of whack is that?
That stock price implies that they're going to sell four times as many cars as CarMax, the biggest player in the business. And so, you know, that's kind of a joke. So they're around well under 500,000 cars now, and the stock price implies they're going to be selling close to 5 million, and CarMax is around 1.5 million these days. So, you know, good luck with that. You know, especially because, you know, CarMax has got such an advantage in terms of the distribution network, the bricks and mortars. We all are seeing now that an omni-channel approach, like what we're seeing with Target, the omni-channel approach is most effective. People don't want just brick and mortar. They don't want just online. They want omni-channel. You get the point. The expectations embedded in the stock price are ridiculous.
And that, of course, is why, like we always say, the market can remain irrational longer than we can remain solvent. It can prove you wrong until it kind of proves you right. That's what maybe appears to be happening here, is that these stocks have been defying gravity, but with their most recent earnings report, well, they're not necessarily poised to keep defying gravity. And they're not alone. And if you want to learn more about how it works, go check it out at newconstructs.com. David Trainer is the president and founder at New Constructs. David, always great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
That's David Trainer. You can learn more about him and the firm. You can check out their most attractive and most dangerous list. You can, of course, read their blog posts about the danger zone, not just this week's stuff, but every week's stuff at newconstructs.com. Follow them on Twitter, where they're at New Constructs. We're heading for home on the Monday, March 8th edition of Money Life. Up next, Matt Hogan from Bitwise Investments will be here. Yep, we're talking Bitcoin and cryptocurrency when we come back.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.